The Chris Abraham Show.
Hey there, this is The Chris Abraham Show, Season 6, Episode 20, 20, 20.
Wow.
And it is the day after Thanksgiving. It's Black Friday. And I'll tell you, I had a great time at Shea DC Girl and Shea Roger Roundy. I got to hang out with fancy, rich Asians, and I got to hang out with all kinds of fun. It was good. And the best news, the worst news, is that apparently I'm AFib guy. And the best news is that I didn't get any AFib, even though I indulged. I had maybe two glasses of wine, red wine, and I had turkey and stuffing and Brussels sprouts and asparagus and potato salad and yams with marshmallows and lots of gravy and all that fun stuff, and had a latticed apple pie, and I had homemade vanilla ice cream, and I had pumpkin pie, and then I had two cups of black coffee, and I didn't have any AFib. Beautiful sinus rhythm, a little bit higher, but I'm not complaining. The way I can always tell is if Fitbit is able to track the cycles on my sleeping. And it said that only 8% of my sleep was under my resting heart rate. So I'm not going to complain. Usually after any type of indulgence like that, especially at night, I go into tachycardia. The tachycardia collapses into AFib, and it's a pain in my ass. So thank you, Jesus. I appreciate that. What else? So I was thinking about what's happening in the what everybody's calling the alt-right debacle, the fact that all these previously leftist socialist states such as Holland and Argentina and even the United States and etc. I want to address the fact that you're all confused, right? So what you call right-wing isn't right-wing at all. It is populist. And if you don't understand populism, then you are going to get bit on the butt about it. Because the left and right populists, the extreme left and extreme right populists, agree on abortion. They're fine with abortion. Most of them have a really deep vein, a deep thrombosis of libertarianism where you do you as long as it doesn't touch me. You can be, as long as you're acting out, as long as your imagination, as long as your exploration of self doesn't become an exploration of me, or if you don't like the way I look at you when you behave that way, if I back off, or if I close the door on you, or if I call the cops, or if I do any number of things, if I make a decision based on how you make me feel, and you expect me to act a certain way, and you expect the state to enforce your not right to exist, but your right to not be discriminated against, then I think that's where the whole right is thing. I think if you don't like what is called liberal theatrical behavior, you are defined as a racist and a right winger and etc. But that's not what's happening. That's why extreme leftists like Jimmy Dore and even Tim Pool and, of course, Russell Brand and Bobby Kennedy, Bobby K. Jr., and etc. Like, all these, what's her name, Tulsi Gabbard, and they're all progressive leftists. But what they have is they have a populism, and I keep on saying this, but I don't know if people like care, but the biggest manifestation of this being successful is the marriage of the Sagar and Crystal Ball on Breaking Points, right? So Sagar is conservative, but he's actually a populist. Crystal is a progressive, like a Bernie progressive, but what she actually is a populist. And I can't tell you, if you watch them on video, I mostly listen to them on podcasts, but when you watch them on video, during their soliloquies, they each and every episode have a soliloquy. The other's head is always bobbing and bobbing and bobbing and bobbing, and they never get into a complete petty fight. The petty fight is always about the establishment, which I define as neocon neolibs, but I also define as war pigs and capitalist pigs. So the neocons might have the leftover stink of Christo-fascism vis-a-vis Mike Pence, who is decidedly pro-life and anti-abortion. I'm pro-life, but I'm not anti-abortion. I think everybody can do whatever they want with their body as long as it doesn't directly affect me. So if you define your embryo as a clump of cells that you consider to be a cancerous imposition into your life, you do you, man. Like, I'm not going to say anything about sin, but let's say sin, lowercase s, is doing a bad thing, and I won't even define it as evil. Like, that's on your checkbook. That's on your ledger. That's, you know, a plus and minus in terms of your decisions in life that you need to gladly bear. And if you cannot gladly bear it, then you would have made a different decision. So if you are a humanist and you do not gladly call what's in your belly a baby, and if you do not gladly and excitedly say, I'm pregnant, and make that a happy moment where you jump up and down and embrace your partner or your parents or your friends, and you don't celebrate that, then it's not a baby to you. It is just a clump of cells. And like any procedure, right, you if you're a cat or your prized dog got all prego from the local tomcat or by the local dingo, and that's your prized dog, and you found out that she is pregnant, you might very well, without any concern at all, take her to the vet and have the pregnancy terminated because you don't want to deal with a whole bunch of babies that are not the breed of choice according to your pure breed, pure blood strategy. You do not want to continue or complete that pregnancy. It has nothing to do with morals or ethics or whatever. It's just it doesn't make sense according to plan. So these decisions, you cannot project Christo-fascism, or you cannot project anti-abortion, or you can't even project any type of belief system onto Trumpers, because Trumpers are, you know, if I were to go ahead and just describe them, it's, you know, white trash. And white trash, and in many cases, that's a point of pride. White trash gets more abortions than anybody by numbers, not by maybe proportion of like percentage of people in the race, but I just think by numbers, since, you know, minority people are still minority, there's still a lot more white folk getting abortions by the numbers than there are, you know, Black or Latino or any other kind of Asian, etc. So they're on only, like, Trumpers are on OnlyFans. Trumpers are doing porn. Trumpers are oftentimes, you know, Satanists, or it's not kind of a moral or ethical thing. It's just, it has a lot to do with the culture war. It has a lot to do with a perceived authoritarianism. It has to do with the fights that are being fought by peoples who are protected species and protected classes are being fought by the state instead of by them, that there is all kinds of fingers and thumbs on the balance. And populism also wants the workers to thrive and the people to thrive. And it wants a strong middle class, and it wants a respected working class, and it wants a blue collar that is able to feed itself, is able to buy a home, is able to acquire credit, is able to get healthcare, is able to get a good education and work upwardly mobile, even if that's making another plumber or another woodworker, another carpenter or whatever. It also doesn't want those things to be dirty words and doesn't want, if you're a farmer, doesn't want the only advice that you get is learn to code. I don't know if you've ever taken care of chicken coops, but Python via VI on a Linux box is much different than taking care of animals on a farm. The only object orientation that chicken coops have is whether the chickens are nesting in the coop or up in a tree, and where you need to find the objects known as eggs. And so in terms of the political horseshoe, I'm already seeing collaborations. You know how we always talk about, parliamentary representational government, where different parties can align in order to get more power? I see an emergent alignment between nationalist populists, and socialist populists, progressive populists. I'm seeing that a lot of them care about their diet, care about their health, don't trust Western medicine, don't trust Western science. I know that people on the extreme left and extreme right in the populist world do not generally adopt all Western medicine without thinking. They oftentimes are resistant to things like mandatory vaccinations and other sundry type of things. And as a result, they're starting to find that they have a lot more in common, especially the populist part, where you would think that in the past, a traditional Republican would be anti-union. But if you are a nationalist populist, you probably don't care about anything more than having a good job. What you don't like is you don't like the open borders. You don't like the fact that there's not a continuity of culture. You don't like that English isn't the lingua franca. You don't like that there is a weight on the balance of access to opportunities. You don't like the fact that America is becoming a refugee nation, an immigrant nation, you don't like the whole concept of nobody is illegal. You don't like being, gaslit, that, you know, January 6th was literally worse than 9/11 and Pearl Harbor combined. You start to feel gaslit, and that makes it sound and makes you feel like you're being handled, and everybody hates being handled. I finally came to the conclusion that the reason why I left Abraham Harrison is because I felt like I was constantly being handled. I felt like people weren't talking to me. They weren't communicating me. They were dodging me. They were handling me. They were telling me things I needed to hear. And they were not including things that might, if you will, emotionally spike my insulin level. They were giving me pablum so as to feed me and to move forward. And once I started realizing that, and the checks and balances and the accounting, the ledger didn't work, I started to become paranoid about it, right? And I started to lose trust in the system, in people, the company that I started, the vision that I had, the business model that I brought to the table, all the instruction, all the tactics, all the marketing and so forth. I felt like it was being pulled away from me slowly. And in many ways, I felt like I fell for kind of a baiting. I walked away and didn't make any fuss. But I lost trust of my own thing. And I didn't think that I felt like I no longer had my hands on the wheel. Or if I did have my hands on the wheel, it's sort of like that first scene from The Simpsons where, is it Maggie? Maggie thinks that she's, you know, steering the car, but in fact, her mom's right there actually steering the car. All she has is a toy steering wheel and a toy horn. And I felt like I was sort of Maggie, right? I felt like, wait, I don't think that this I don't think that this wheel is attached to the rudder. And I don't think this throttle is attached to the motor. So I think that that is sort of the blowback, the unintended consequences of the losing of trust. The fact that people feel like they're being fed pablum for whatever reason, whether it's they're afraid that the truth will blow back on them, that they're afraid that the truth will result in violence. I don't know. It doesn't seem like extremely obvious to me as to, you know, what it all means at the end of the day. But when you don't trust, like when you really don't trust the motivation of the people around you, and you feel like you're being gaslit or nudged or handled or manipulated or what is the term? Gaslit is a word for it, but like if you feel like you are being disrespected, you'll slowly try to find allies where you'll find them. And the enemy of your enemy is your friend. And so I really am starting to see that there's like 10 things that the extreme left and extreme right, both populists, agree on. And one of them was a fear of the vaccine, a fear of the mRNA. Another of them is freedom, freedom in all things, from freedom of speech to freedom of expression to freedom of religion. Because a lot of the lefties are spiritual, man. A lot of lefties are spiritual. And if you are trying to sell a world that is perfectly humanistic, and the only respect that the culture shows is to these primitive, animist, pagan, polytheistic, minority religions, for whatever reason, they're afraid to cancel them. They're afraid to cancel whatever. Native American animism, they're afraid to cancel Hawaiian animism, they're afraid to cancel... You know, nobody says Sky Daddy. You believe in Sky Daddy around a Hindu or around a Muslim or around a Taoist or around, you know. I know that Buddhists don't believe in God per se, but they certainly do fetishize Buddha. And reincarnation is defined by the continuity of a soul and through vibrational movements of the mortal through the immortal, or the immortal through the mortal, in a movement towards karmic freedom and reintegration into the other. And that is a version of Sky Daddy. That's a version that that the moon and the stars and your ancestors... I mean, shit, if you're a humanist, you don't fucking believe in ancestors. You don't believe in praying to your ancestors or worshiping saints or any of that stuff. And, you know, it's fine to call Christians Sky Daddy lovers, but nobody says that to Jewish folk. And honestly, I don't believe that most Jewish folk who say that they're humanists and don't believe in God and that their Judaism is just cultural. I don't think that if you are willing to commit to the various and sundry rites and prayers and commitments and holidays and holy days and restrictions and fasts and so forth, if you quack like a duck and you eat like a duck and you pray like a duck and you identify as a duck, then you're a duck, even if you just think you're a cultural duck. So I believe that if this insult of you believe in Sky Daddy were to be leveled at all these, quote, primitive belief people, it would be shown that there's an extreme amount of hypocrisy, and that the reason why everybody doesn't call religions outside of Christianity a bunch of mental illness like they do Christians, it would just be not PC. It would be not PC to say, all y'all believe in Sky Daddy, y'all believe in ghosts, y'all believe in bullshit, y'all being manipulated by a bunch of texts written by man, you know. Nobody would visit frickin' Buddha. I mean, sorry, nobody would visit Dalai Lama. Nobody would visit Karmapa Lama. Nobody would visit with great admiration the various Hindu monks they feel as charming. They look at these things as if they were articles in the National Geographic, right? It's like, look at them primitive little motherfuckers. Oh, look at them. They believe in, oh, it's so charming. Look at that, the big gold Buddha. Look at the big gold Buddha. Oh, I like the big gold Buddha. So pretty. It's kind of the way that they treat Italian, Spanish, and Portuguese cathedrals. Catedral. They treat them as objets d'art, right? Not places of worship that are sacramental. Anyway, so that's my warning. It is Black Friday. Go buy stuff. Love you. Happy Thanksgiving belated. Season 6, Episode 20 of the Chris Abraham Show. Mahalo aloha.
Thank you for listening to the Chris Abraham Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Until next time.